Welcome to the Retreadcast, the regular video podcast series for the tyre retreading industry. And welcome to episode 28 of our series. Now, people who are watching this video instead of listening to the podcast will see that we're in a very special place today. We're on the F1 pit straight of the Singapore Grand Prix. Now, David, we won't be talking about car tyres or racing tyres today. What do we have in store for today's episode?
Well, Richard, we're very fortunate to be in the Lion City here today, and we'll be interviewing Chris Blaw, who's the International Sales and Marketing Director for GT Tyre. Now, Chris has got some very interesting views on the retreading industry. We're really looking forward to hearing what he's got to say.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it. Let's get stuck into that interview with Chris Blaw from GT right now.
Well, we're here today at Tyre Expo Asia, and today we're going to talk to Chris Blaw of the Retreadcast. He's the Executive Director, International Sales and Marketing for the GT Tyre Group, and we're going to talk about the retreading market. So, Chris, welcome to the Retreadcast.
Thank you, David.
Not at all. So let's begin by talking about your presentation at the retreading conference today. Mm-hmm. During that presentation, you mentioned the fact that global macroeconomic factors seem to favour retreading at the moment, thanks to a number of factors: environmental trends, shipping costs, the tariff situation, etc. But despite this, retreading is still facing significant challenges. So could you please talk us through those challenges as you see them?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the first thing to say, there are winners and losers in every sphere of business. But certainly, global perspective is that retreading is quite a challenge for some players at the moment. So what are those challenges? I think one of the issues is that end-user fleets are often distracted and tempted by upfront price, and they're not reminded about whole life cost. So I think one of the challenges that needs to be continually assessed and dealt with is the fact that the whole premise of a new and retread value proposition hinges on communication of the purchasing decision being the correct one. And the elements of that mean that you've got to have some form of computation of the initial cost, running cost, and then CPK, whole life cycle. Yeah. And if that is not continually drip-fed and verified and monitored and checked to make sure it's still competitive, and it should be, customers will be tempted to go elsewhere. So I think this is not rocket science, it's nothing new, but to be frank with you, the guys that do it and do it well are winning. And the guys that are not investing and not taking the time to communicate are struggling. And there's a lot of other dynamics around that, but today we're surrounded by the digital transformation in so many ways. When you're going to get an Amazon package, you get a text to say it's four doors away. Well, if you bring that into the world of retreading, we should be able to be thinking about communicating with fleets to say, these tyres have done this, or they're going to come up for renewal, or these casings have passed this acceptance level, and so on. So there's a lot of innovation that can take place in order to overcome some of these challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the basic idea of communicating the message better is, we've been talking about that for years, haven't we? And it's not rocket science.
I'm sorry not to be a very exciting respondent, but I can't. There's no magic silver bullet,
No.
I really think that it's back to the fundamentals like that.
For sure, yeah. But you also point out that the EU retreading market share has continued to decline as a percentage of overall replacement sales. So yeah. What are the reasons for this failure to maintain market share, would you say?
Well, there's what I call the mechanical effect, or arithmetic effect, which is basically as the market gets bigger, if the retread sales in absolute value are static, proportionally they'll be less than the total market.
Yeah.
And frankly, that's what's going on. Is that as you would expect, over time the total market size increases as economies develop, but it seems to me that the consumers of retread are basically flatlining in a market that is steadily growing. Mm. And you know, it comes to the question, why are they flatlining? Well, you know, go back to question number one, which is, what are the challenges? And the challenges are, you know, we've got folks, some folks that'll meet them head on and some folks that are struggling with them.
Yeah. So what, in your opinion, do retreaders need to do specifically in order to make the most of these opportunities in the market? We've spoken a little bit about it already, but what would you say? Can you expand on that a bit?
Yeah, well, you know, I mentioned in the presentation earlier that you need an aligned strategy with a new tyre manufacturer, because the raw material of a retread is, of course, a casing, and a casing is produced by a tyre manufacturer. This is a fundamental element of the new and retread equation. You know, application-based selling, you know, it's not rocket science one more time, but you know, you've got to have the right product in the right place, make sure the casings are managed and not damaged and easily reprocessable. Because we know we can reprocess damaged casings, but the cost and time, you know, manpower, consumables, cushion gum, and so on. So application-based sales, so advice of a tyre manufacturer to say, okay, this is the correct tyre for this application, let's work together, and this should be the matched retread in this application. And this needs to be hand in glove with a new tyre maker. You know, with the retreaders we work with, we try very hard to educate and work together and make joint fleet approaches with them. So it's a kind of symbiotic relationship. But if you're going to market on your own as a retreader, I think it's quite a tough gig, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So another topic I wanted to talk about was you talked about the need for the retread community to redouble its efforts to shape the context of regulatory frameworks, and particularly in terms of material reuse. So could you please expand a little bit on that thinking?
Yeah, well, you know, any business now is exposed to obligations regarding environmental, social and governance issues, ESG issues. I mean, the financial community, our banks and everything else in our business, we have strong commitments which we're obliged to furnish information about that. If we look at parallel markets or industries, I mentioned earlier, you know, I learnt that single-use plastics are going to be banned in the UK very shortly, which spells the end of the business of single-use plastic production. Well, if the retread community could lobby and get a framework of regulatory framework that says, hey, you can't sell truck tyres unless they are retreadable. You know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's good for the environment, it's good for the business, and it's responsible use of resources. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's an open door, I think, relating to that type of regulatory framework to be put out there, and it's worthy of time being invested by the retread community in order to do it. Mm. You know, time's been invested in the past relating to, you know, trade sanctions and import duty, which is also part of the presentation, which frankly in Europe anyway hasn't worked. But something like that would have a rather more direct impact, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's interesting. I remember sort of 15 years ago when I was with the RMA banging my head against a brick wall trying to get people in government to understand the benefits of retreading. I think it says something that it's actually now even talking about that, the possibility that we might at some point want to actually get that message across, talking about you know, regulatory framework in the way we just have.
Yeah, I mean, that has gone up and up and up the agenda of any governmental or big business. I mean, it's people are used to pay lip service to this, but this
That's
is
right.
no longer the case.
Yeah,
because you know, tomorrow. And for our children and children's children, people are really properly getting serious about this.
Absolutely.
So we should take the opportunity.
Absolutely. So before we came on air, we were talking about some of the things that GT are up to in terms at the moment, in terms of investment in the retreading programme. Can you tell us a little bit about that, both in terms of products and service?
Well, the reason I'm sat here is we're real believers in retread. We design our tyres to be retreaded, and we lead by example because we actually arrange to have our tyres retreaded and branded as GT Retread Hot Cure tyres in the market. That takes place in Europe. We're investing in new tooling and equipment with a retread partner in Northern Europe. We have a long-standing business relationship with a retread partner in the UK, and again, we're renewing our tooling and pattern designs for the hot cure retread production in the UK. So we are investing in retreading.
Yeah. Okay. So in your presentation today, you also talk about an alignment of strategy between retreaders and new tyre manufacturers. So how is GT working with retreaders around the world to take advantage of this?
Right. Well, we've got a couple of examples of this here locally in Southeast Asia and in other markets too. I mentioned earlier about this idea of having this partnership with a joint approach to fleets. So we've got the application-based sales. We've got the advice on preparation of the casing, you know, buffing profiles and all the other technical aspects of the preparation of the tyre. We have also got a project of co-branding pre-cure treadliners for specific markets. So we are, well, if you're co-branding treadliners, that's really tight.
Yeah.
Linkage with a retreader, you
Absolutely.
Know, because you're trying to leverage the reputation of the new tyre brand to give credibility to the fact that it's a kind of qualified retreading process using some of the IP of the new tyre manufacturer. So there are a lot of tunes to play on that. We've also got tools we help with the computation of whole life cost. So we try and educate our retread partner staff to continue to communicate, because I mean, one of the first questions was, what was the challenge? One of the challenges for retreading is to make sure we've got this continual communication of the purchase decision being the right one. And you know, whilst it's very conducive right now with the macroeconomics, the environmental situation, the shipping and so on that I mentioned in the presentation, we've really got to work together to make the most of that. And when you align your strategy with a new tyre maker, and yeah, GT is a good new tyre maker, I'm bound to say that, but of course there are others. We all understand the competitors out there. But, you know, there's strength in numbers. And if you go to market on your own, you succeed or fail on your own efforts. If you go with a tyre maker, yeah, both parties have got skin in the game, and it's in both parties' interest to succeed.
Absolutely. Okay, so just to wrap the interview up, you talk about current decline in the market share of retreading. So how do you see the future of retreading in general, both for new tyre manufacturers and for independent retread operations?
Right, well I can't, by nature I'm a bit of an optimist, but that putting that to one side...
Yeah.
Well, just let's take a look. I mean, we mentioned earlier the ESG agenda.
Yeah.
All these things are aligned to say, well, you know, there's an open door for the correct reuse and recycling of truck tyres. There's a framework of regulation that needs to be tightened and put in place to make sure that the opportunity is not squandered by disposable, one-use, fit-and-throw-away commercial vehicle tyres, to make sure that by regulation that can be squeezed out, you know, to say there's got to be a responsible manufacturing and responsible recycling. So I'm basically optimistic about it, which is basically why we're investing.
Yeah.
So sure. Yeah, I can see it's challenging, but as I said earlier, amongst all of the challenges, there are winners out there. So some folks are doing it right. So there must be a business opportunity somewhere, providing it's correctly harnessed, you know.
Absolutely. Okay, well, Chris, thank you very much for your time today. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing you on the Retreadcast again soon.
Thank you very much, David.
Thank you very much for watching and listening to episode 28 of the Retreadcast. We certainly hope you enjoyed that interview with Chris Blaw from GT. We'll be back very soon with episode 29. In the meantime, we hope you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel for Retreading Business, and do the same for our podcast on all our audio platforms. Until then, please stay safe.